Hello and welcome to a special Briefings Direct Thought Leadership interview series coming to you in conjunction with the Open Group Conference on January 28th in Newport Beach, California. I'm Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inter Arbor Solutions, and I'll be your host and moderator throughout these business transformation discussions. The conference will focus on big data, the transformation we need to embrace today. We're here now with one of the main speakers at the conference, Michael Cavaretta, PhD, Technical Leader of Predictive Analytics for Ford Research and Advanced Engineering in Dearborn, Michigan. We'll see how Ford has exploited the strengths of big data analytics by directing them internally to improve business results. In doing so, they scour the metrics from the company's vast processes across myriad manufacturing efforts and through detailed outputs from in-use automobiles, all to improve and help transform their business. Cavaretta has led multiple data analytic projects at Ford to break down silos inside the company to best define Ford's most fruitful data sets. Ford has successfully aggregated customer feedback and extracted all this internal data to predict how best new features and technologies will improve their cars. As a lead-in to his open group presentation, Michael and I will now explore how big data is fostering business transformation by allowing deeper insights into more types of data efficiently and thereby improving processes, quality control, and customer satisfaction. With that, please join me in welcoming Michael Cavaretta. Welcome to the Briefings Direct, Michael.
Thank you very much.
So your upcoming open group presentation is going to describe some of these new approaches to big data and how that offers some valuable insights into internal operations and therefore making a better product. So I guess to start, what's different now in being able to get at this data and do this type of analysis from, say, 5 years ago?
I think the biggest difference has to do with the cheap availability of storage and processing power, where a few years ago, people were very much concentrated on filtering down the data sets that are being stored for long-term analysis. There's been a really big sea change with the idea that we should just store as much as we can and take advantage of that storage to improve business processes.
Well, that sounds right on the money, but I guess, you know, how do we get here? How do we get to the point where we could start using these benefits from a technology perspective, as you say, better storage, networks, able to move big data sets, that sort of thing, to wrenching out benefits? What's the process behind the benefits?
I think the process behind the benefits has to do with a sea change in the attitude of organizations, particularly IT, within large enterprises. This idea that you don't need to spend so much time figuring out what data you want to store and worry about the costs associated with them, and more about data as an asset, and that there's value in being able to store it and being able to go back and extract different insights from it. And this really comes from, again, this really cheap storage and access to parallel processing machines and great software.
Yeah, you know, it seems to me that for a long time, the mindset was that data is simply the output from applications, the applications being primary and the data being almost a secondary afterthought. It seems like we sort of flipped that. The data now is perhaps as important, even more important than the applications. Does that seem to hold true?
Oh, most definitely. And we've had a number of interesting engagements over here on this side where people have thought about the data that's being collected. And when we talk to them about big data and storing everything at the lowest level of transactions and what can be done with that, their eyes just kind of light up and they really begin to get it.
Yeah, so I suppose earlier when cost considerations and just the technical limitations were at work, we would just go for a top of the iceberg, tip of the iceberg level. But now, as you say, we can get it almost all the data. So is this a matter of getting at more data, different types of data, bringing in unstructured data, all the above? How much are you really going after here?
Well, I actually have a saying, and I like to go around and I'd like to talk to people about the possibilities that big data provides. And I always tell them, I have yet to have a circumstance where somebody's given me too much data. The idea that you can be able to pull all this information in and then answer a variety of questions, because you don't have to worry that something's been thrown out. You have everything. And where you may have 100 questions, and each one of the questions uses a very small portion of the data, but those questions may use different portions of the data. It's a very small piece, but they're all different. So if you go in and you're thinking, well, we're going to answer the top 20 questions and we're just going to hold data for that, that leaves so much on the table that you don't get any value out of.
Mm. And I suppose, too, that we can think about small samples or small data sets and aggregate them, join them. We have new software capabilities to do that efficiently so that we're actually able to not just look for big honking original data sets, but to aggregate, collate, and in a sense, look for a life cycle level of data. Is that fair as well?
Oh, definitely. We're a big believer in mashups, and we really believe that there's a lot of value in being able to take even data sets that are not specifically big data sizes yet, and then not go deep, not get more detailed information, but expand the breadth. So being able to augment it with other internal data sets, so bridging across different business areas, as well as augmenting it with external data sets. A lot of times you can take something that is maybe a few 100,000 records or a few million records, and then by the time you're joining it and appending different pieces of information onto it, you can get the big data set sizes.
And just to be clear, you're a bit unique. I suppose the conventional wisdom for big data is to look at what your customers are doing or just the external data. You're really looking, I think, primarily at internal, while also availing yourself of what external data might be appropriate. Maybe you could describe for us a little bit about your organization, what you do, and why this internal focus is so important for you.
So I'm part of a larger department that is housed over in the research and advanced engineering area at Ford Motor Company. And we're about 30 people. And we work as internal consultants, kind of like a Capgemini or Ernst & Young, but only within Ford Motor Company. And so we're responsible for going out and looking for different opportunities from the business perspective to bring advanced technologies. And so we've been focused on the area of statistical modeling and machine learning for, I'd say, about 15 years or so. And in this time, we've had a number of engagements where we've talked with different business customers and people have said, oh, we really like to do this. And then we look at the data sets that they have and, gee, wouldn't it be great if we would have had this. So now we have to wait 6 months or a year. These new technologies are really changing the game from that perspective. So we can turn on the complete fire hose and then say, we don't have to worry about that anymore. Everything's coming in. We can record it all. We don't have to worry about the data doesn't support this analysis because it's all there. And I think that's a really big benefit of big data technologies.
So if you've been doing this for 15 years, you must be demonstrating, return on investment or a value proposition back to Ford. Has that value proposition been changing, and do you expect it to change? What might, say, be your real value proposition in 2 or 3 years from now?
I think the real value proposition definitely is changing. And as things are being pushed down to lower levels, analysts within the company who are really interested in looking at things from a data-driven perspective. From when I first came in to now, I think really the biggest change has been when Ellen Mullally came into the company and really pushed the idea of data-driven decisions. Whereas before, we were getting a lot of interest from people who are really very focused on the data that they had internally. We after that point, had a lot of questions from their management and from upper level directors and vice presidents saying, we've got all these data assets, we should be getting more out of them. And so this kind of strategic perspective has really changed a lot of what we've done in the last few years.
Right. And as I listen to you, Michael, it occurs to me that you are applying this data-driven mentality more deeply. And as you pointed out earlier, you're also going after all the data, all the information, whether that's internal or external. So in the case of an automobile company, you're looking at the factory, the dealers, what drivers are doing, what the devices within the automobile are telling you, factoring that back into design and relatively quickly, and then repeating this process. Are we getting to the point where this sort of holy grail notion of a total feedback loop across the life cycle of a major product like an automobile is really within our grasp? Are we getting there, or is this still kind of theoretical, being able to pull it all together and make it a science?
I think the theory is there. The question has more to do with the actual implementation and the practicality of it. We still are talking a lot of data. We're, even with the new advanced technologies and techniques, that's a lot of data to store. It's a lot of data to analyze. It's a lot of data to make sure that we can mash up appropriately. And while I think the potential is there, and I think the theory is there, there's also work in being able to push kind of strategic directions. So everything that you can get back from the vehicle, fantastic. Now, what do you marry that up with internally? Is it survey data? Is it manufacturing data? Is it quality data? What are the things that you want to go after first? Because you can't do everything all at the same time. So I think our perspective has been, let's make sure that we identify the highest value, greatest ROI areas, and then say, let's begin to take some of the major data sets that we have and then push them, get more detail, mash them up appropriately, and really prove out the value for the technologies.
Hmm. So clearly there's a lot more to come in terms of where we can take this, but I suppose it's useful to have a historic perspective and context as well. And so I was thinking about some of the early quality gurus like Deming, and some of the movements towards quality like Six Sigma. Does this fall within that same lineage? Are we talking about a continuum here over the last 50 or 60 years, or is this maybe something different? How should we view that?
That's a really interesting question. From the perspective of analyzing data, using data appropriately, I think there's a really good long history, and Ford's been a big follower of Deming and Six Sigma for a number of years now. I think the difference, though, is this idea that you don't have to worry so much upfront about getting the data. If you're doing this right, you have the data right there. And this has some great advantages. You don't have to wait until you get enough history to be able to look for some of these patterns. Then again, it also has some disadvantages, which is you've got so much data that it's easy to find things that could be spurious correlations or models that don't make any sense. And so I think the piece that is required is to have some good domain knowledge, particularly when you're talking about making changes in the manufacturing plant. And it's very appropriate to look at things and be able to talk with people who have 20 years of experience to say, hey, this is what we found in the data. Does this kind of match what your intuition is? And then take that extra step.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about sort of the day in the life of your organization and your team. Kind of let us know what you do. How do you go about making more data available and then reaching some of these higher level benefits?
So we are very much focused on interacting with the business. And most of what we do has to do with working on pilot projects and working with our business customers to bring advanced analytics and big data technologies to bear against these problems. So we work in kind of a what we call push and pull model. So we go out and we investigate technologies and we say, these are technologies that Ford should be interested in. And then we look for business customers, internal, that would be interested in this. And so we're kind of pushing the technologies. From the pull perspective, we've had so many successful engagements and such good contacts and good credibility within the organization that we have people who come to us and say, we've got a problem. We know this is kind of in your domain. Give us some help, and we'd love to be able to hear your opinions on this. And so we've got kind of a pull from the business side. And then our job is to really match up those two pieces. So it's best when we're looking at a particular technology and we have somebody coming to us and we say, oh, this is a perfect match. So those type of opportunities have been really increasing in the last few years, and we've been very happy with the number of internal customers that have really been very excited about the areas of big data.
Great. Now, because this is an open group conference and an audience that's familiar with the IT side of things, I'm curious as to how this relates to software and software development. Of course, there's so many more millions of lines of code in automobiles these days, software being more important to just about everything. Are you applying a lot of what you're doing to the software side of the house, or is the agile and the feedback loops and the performance management issues a separate domain, or is there a crossover here?
You know, I think there's some crossover. The biggest areas that we've been focused on have been taking information, whether it be the internal business processes or from the vehicle, and then being able to bring it back in to derive value. And we have very good contacts over in the Ford IT group, and they've been actually fantastic to work with in bringing interesting tools and technologies to bear, and then looking at moving those into production and what's the best way to be able to do that. So a fantastic development has been this idea of really using some of the more agile techniques in this space. And Ford IT has been pushing this for a while, and it's been fantastic to see them work with us in being able to bring these techniques in this new domain. So, you know, kind of pushing the envelope from two different directions.
Right, right. Sounds like you'll be meeting up at some point with a complementary nature to your activities.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to this notion of the Internet of Things, a very interesting concept that a lot of people talk about. It seems relevant to what we've been discussing. Sensors in these cars, wireless transfer of data, more and more opportunity for location information to be brought to bear, where cars are, how they're driven, speed information, all sorts of metrics. Maybe making those available through cloud providers that assimilate this data. So let's not go too deep, because this is a multi-hour discussion all on its own. But how is this notion of the Internet of Things being brought to bear on your gathering of big data and applying it to the analytics in your organization?
I think it is a huge, huge area. And I think it's huge not only from the internal process perspective, so RFID tags within the manufacturing plants, as well as out on the plant floor, and then all of the information that's being generated by the vehicle itself. So the Ford Energy, it generates about 25 gigabytes of data per hour. And so you could imagine, you know, selling a couple million vehicles in the near future with that amount of data being generated, there's huge opportunities within that. And there's also some interesting opportunities having to do with opening up some of these systems for, you know, third-party developers. OpenXC is an initiative that we have going over here at Research and Advanced Engineering. So the idea of being able to have a lot of data coming from the vehicle, this huge number of sensors and processors that are being added to the vehicles, and all the data being generated there, as well as communication between the vehicle and your cell phone, and communication between vehicles. There's a group over at Ann Arbor, Michigan, UMTREE, that's investigating that, as well as communication between the vehicle and, let's say, a home system to let the home know you're on your way, it's time to increase the temperature if it's winter outside, or cool it if it's summertime. All of these pieces. And I think the amount of data that's being generated there is invaluable information and really could be used for a lot of benefit, both from the corporate perspective as well as the very nature of the environment.
Right. And just to put a sort of stake in the ground on this, how much data do cars typically generate? Do you have a sense of what now is the case, average?
Well, I know that the Energy, according to the latest information that I have, generates about 25 gigabytes per hour. Different vehicles are going to generate different amounts depending on the number of sensors and the number of processors on the vehicle. But I think the biggest key has to do with not necessarily where we are right now, but where we will be in the near future. And so the amount of information that's being generated and data generated from the vehicles, a lot of it is just internal stuff. And the question is, how much information should be sent back for analysis and to be able to find different patterns? And I think that becomes really interesting as you look at external sensors. So temperature, humidity, you can know when the windshield wipers go on. And then to be able to take that information, be able to mash that up with other external data sources too. So it's a very interesting domain.
Yeah, so clearly multiple gigabytes per hour per vehicle and probably going much higher.
Easily.
Right. All right, let's move forward now. For those folks that have been listening and are interested in perhaps bringing this to bear on their organizations and their vertical industries, from the perspective of skills, mindset, culture, are there standards, certification, professional organizations that you're working with in order to find the right people? It's a big question. Let's look at what skills do you target for your group and what ways you think you can improve on that, and then we'll get into those sort of some of those larger issues about culture and mindset.
Sure. So the skills that we have in our department, in particular on our team here, are really in the area of computer science and statistics and some good old-fashioned engineering domain knowledge. And we've really gone about this from a training perspective. So besides a few key hires, it's really been an internally developed group. And I think the biggest advantage that we have is that we can go out and we can be very targeted with the amount of training that we have. And there's such good tools out there, especially in the open source realm, that we can spin things up with relatively low cost and low risk and be able to do a number of experiments in the area. And that's really the way we push the technologies forward.
Why the open group? Why is that a good forum for you, for your message and for your research here?
I think really the biggest reason is the focus on the enterprise, where I think there are a lot of advantages and a lot of business cases. Looking at large enterprises and where there's a lot of systems, companies that can take a relatively small improvement and it can make a large difference on the bottom line. So talking with the open group, I think, really gives me an opportunity to be able to bring people on board with the idea that you should be looking at a difference in mindset, that it's not, here's a way that data is being generated, let's try and conceive of some questions that we can use and we'll store that too. Let's just take everything. Let's take everything, we'll worry about it later, and then you know, we'll find the value.
Well, I'm sure the viewers of your presentation on January 28th will be gathering a lot of great insights. A lot of the people that attend these open group organization conferences are enterprise architects. And so the big data revolution that we've been discussing, what do you think those enterprise architects should be taking away from this? Is there something about their mindset that should shift in recognizing the potential that you've been demonstrating?
Yeah, I really think it's important for them to be thinking about data as an asset rather than as a cost. And that you're going to have to spend some money, maybe a little bit on faith, without really solid ROI at the beginning, and move towards pulling that information in and being able to store it in a way that allows not just the high-level data scientists to get access to it and to provide value, but people who are interested in the data overall. So I think those are very important pieces. And I think really the last one is, how do you take a big data project? How do you take something where you're not storing it in the traditional BI framework that an enterprise has developed, and then connect that to the BI systems and look at providing value through those mashups? I think those are really important areas that still need some work.
Right, and the another big constituency within the open group community are those business architects. Is there something about mindset and culture, getting back to that topic, that those business level architects should consider? Do you really need to change the way you think about planning and resource allocation in a business setting based on the fruits of things that you're doing with big data?
I really think so. And I think the idea that the digital assets that you have really can be monetized to change the way the business works. And that can be done by creating new assets that then can be sold to customers, as well as improving the efficiencies of the business. And I think this idea that everything is going to be very well defined and there's a lot of work that's being put into making sure the data has high quality, I think those things need to be changed somewhat so that as you're pulling the data in, as you're thinking about long-term storage, it's more the access to the information rather than the problem of just storing it.
Right. Interesting that you brought up that notion that the data becomes a product itself, even a profit center, perhaps.
Yes, exactly. And I think there are many companies, especially large enterprises, that are looking at their data assets and wondering what can they do to be able to monetize this, not only to just pay for the efficiency improvements, but as a new revenue stream.
Well, great. We're almost out of time. For those organizations that want to get started on this, is there any 2020 hindsight or Monday morning quarterback insights you could provide? How do you get started? Should you appoint a leader? Do you need a strategic roadmap? Getting this culture or mindset shifted? Pilot programs? How would you recommend fairly briefly that people might begin the process of getting into this?
We are definitely a huge believer in pilot projects and proof of concept. And I think we like to develop roadmaps by doing. So get out there, understand that it's going to be messy, understand that it's maybe going to be a little bit more costly and the ROI isn't going to be there at the beginning, but get your feet wet. Start doing some experiments. And then as those experiments turn from just experimentation into really providing real business value, then that's the time to start looking at kind of a more formal aspect and being able to roll this into more formal IT processes. But I think you just got to get going at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that the competitive forces are out there. If you're in a competitive industry and those that you compete against are doing this and you're not, that could spell some trouble.
Definitely.
Okay, we've been talking with Michael Cavaretta, PhD, technical leader of predictive analytics at Ford Research and Advanced Engineering in Dearborn, Michigan. Michael and I have been exploring how big data is fostering business transformation by allowing deeper insights into more types of data and all very efficiently. This is improving processes, abetting quality control, and adding to customer satisfaction. Our conversation today comes as a lead-in to Michael's upcoming Open Group plenary presentation. He's going to be talking on January 28th in Newport Beach, California, as part of the Open Group conference. You'll hear more from Michael and others, the global leaders on big data, that are going to be gathering to talk about business transformation from big data at this conference. So a big thank you to Michael for joining us in this fascinating discussion. I really enjoyed it, and I look forward to your presentation on the 28th.
Thank you very much.
And I would encourage our listeners and readers to attend the conference or follow more of the threads in social media from the event. Again, it's going to be happening from January 27th to January 30th, 2013 in Newport Beach, California. This is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inter Arbor Solutions, your host and moderator through these thought leadership interviews. Thanks again for listening. And come back next time.